And so here we are, worldwide live through BBS Radio. Thank you, BBS, for making this possible. Talk about the folks who are joining in online. We cannot hear you. We cannot see you. We are glad you are here. And this is, as usual, a simulcast with a conference call. You heard a couple of things. That's every time somebody else joining in on the call. I welcome those folks. If you have a chance, please say your name and location.
I was Don in Northern Ohio. Hi, how are you, everybody?
Good evening to you, Don. Welcome to the call.
Thanks.
Hi, Terry.
Hello, Terry Brown. How are you?
Hi. Good, thank you.
Glad to hear Terry. I need to say your last name because there are too many Terrys on the line.
Terry Brown.
Live.
Hello, Terry.
Hello, Terry.
Terry Friedman says there can't be enough Terrys.
And guess what, Terry? We have our closest friends. There's a couple, and their names are Terry and Terry.
Really?
Oh. Where are they from?
Terrytown.
They live a block away from here.
Terrytown, he said.
We have a few more people joining in. Welcome to the call. If you have a chance, please say your name and location.
Does anybody hear me?
Yep.
Yeah.
Hello, Wynn.
Muffled, though.
Yes, barely.
Is that better now?
Yeah, your mic hasn't been so good lately.
Is that better now?
A little.
Yep.
Yes.
Not great.
Not great. Hang on a second. Oh, God.
Hi, everybody. Robert from Glendora.
Hello, Robert. How are you doing, brother?
I'm doing good today. Sending everybody love and kindness.
All
Thank
right,
you,
love and kindness.
Hope you guys are doing well.
All right, yeah. So Ronnie's making the money?
Barely.
Okay.
Yeah, Ronnie's doing a massage tonight. She usually works till 8 o'clock.
All right.
Am I better now?
It's doable.
Is this worse?
Yeah.
Yes, you know you're close.
Yeah.
This is worse. All right.
Yes, it's slurry.
And this is better.
Yes.
Okay.
Those are our choices.
We have a few more people joined in. I welcome you. If you have a chance, please say your name and location.
This is Marilyn in Flagstaff.
Good evening to you, Marilyn. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here. Who else? We welcome you.
Hey, Wynn, why don't you go get Jim's phone?
Why don't I get Jim's phone?
Yes, he always sounds great.
Jim's got a voice that no matter what kind of phone he's got, he'll sound good.
What's that word when the government takes something? Requisition or something?
When you're speaking about the devil. Jim, are you here?
Yes. Nosferatu is right here.
Wynn, listen to that phone.
See?
Jim doesn't have a smartphone.
Hello, Marshall Shanky.
He doesn't need it because he's smart from himself, right?
He self-powers it.
Did I hear Marshall?
Voice. He doesn't need a phone.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. Welcome to the call, Marshall.
All right, thank you. Glad to be here.
All right. Great. More people joined in. Please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Dharmananda here.
Dharmananda, we welcome you.
Thank you.
All right. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Edna.
Edna, guten Abend. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Who else joined in? We welcome you. Please say your name and location. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Yeah, this is Raiden Knight, Aurora Seco, New Mexico.
Raiden Knight, welcome back.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
What does Aurora Seco mean?
What does that mean?
Como se dice Aurora Seco in English?
Aurora Seco? I'm not familiar with that word. So, let's see. It is 6:03 Wednesday evening. I welcome all the folks on BBS Radio. Thank you for being here. We have a bunch of people on the phone line.
Tomorrow's
the
full moon, eh?
What's that?
Tomorrow's full moon, isn't it?
I don't know. All right, this is the last one, the last ding. I'm going to turn off the dings. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Susan in Delaware.
Hi, Susan. Welcome to the call.
Hi, Susan. Thank you.
Hi, Susan. Are we ready?
All right.
Hello.
Yep.
Ice, is Terry on?
Terry is here.
I'm here.
Oh, good.
All right. Let's first mute when I want to. Don't.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
Okay.
Say something, man.
Testing 1 2 1 2 1 2. Yeah.
It's not optimum, but it's doable.
Okay. I could call back on Skype, but I don't think so because we're just starting now. So
right. The
first thing I want to... let's see. First, let's turn on the recorder.
This conference is being recorded.
Your conference recording has stopped.
This conference is being recorded.
I think that was both of us on the same button, huh?
That's right, yes.
This is March 18th, 2015, Wynn and Terry in Sedona, and all of you everywhere. And tonight's call where we do questions and answers. We have some really, really great questions tonight. And I wanted to start the call by just doing a small, you know, there's a gentleman that Terry and I got to know that lived in Mesa, Arizona. And we would go down to Mesa. We had lunch with him a couple of times. He came up to Sedona, and we met his sister. And did we meet his father, Terry?
We met his father and his cousin.
His father and his cousin.
Yeah.
And his name is David Agrant, and he passed a few days ago. And he was on the calls all the time. The calls were a great service to him, helping keep together. And 2 days ago, there's certain people that have been very endeared to Dave on the calls, and they were going through a lot of grief. And 2 days ago, Terry and I did a session, and Dave came in, and he's probably somewhere on the call right now. And I don't want to.
No, it
was last night.
Pardon me?
I said it was last night.
Last night?
That you called in to him.
Was it yesterday, Terry, that we did that? The day before? Yesterday.
It was yesterday.
But Donna, who is became really good friends with Dave, and in Montana, had what she experienced, which he thought was a visitation by him. And he said that everything was fine. He was getting oriented, and he felt okay, and he felt his body was lighter. And so I thought we'd just take a moment, all of us, and send some loving energy to Dave Agrant, who is on the other side right now. And Dave, we love you. And let's just take a moment of silence and ask our sources to help so he can have the best possible motion through realms, and any karmic patterns that can be lifted, that then might be done. Start now.
And also send love light to Donna and to Dave, his father.
Yeah. Everyone is holding grief over Dave. Okay. You know, my experience has been, and I was quite skeptical of this at first, that when a spirit on the other side contacts us through Terry, that I wasn't sure if it was real. I mean, I wasn't sure if the Elohim were real. And I, over time, I've watched this, I've checked it out. And whenever there's some opportunity to validate it, it always seems to validate it. And I think, and I've asked this question, and you can take this and integrate it as you will, but when I ask the Elohim, where do you go when you die? And let me see. I can't remember my question. That was not the question. But the answer, I remember the answer. They said that the things you're connected to, you stay connected with. So it's really important to connect with really good things, really high things. And so perhaps that works with our group, that because my experience is that we make an energetic connection on this group with each other and with our sources. And that connection goes beyond our physical embodiment. I think that's true. And I can't prove it. Although we'll check with Dave. And I'll bet you, for some people, this connection is extremely important. And people in this realm tend to get disconnected, alienated, isolated, lonely. You know, all the things that happened to us, and that I hope that these calls are a service to everyone, in particular those people that are reaching for connection and needing, you know, feeling disconnected. And you know, one of the things that goes on is that so many people in this realm suffer. And that does not exclude wanderers and starseeds. In fact, I think some wanderers and starseeds suffer more because they have more of a predisposition to feel disconnected and alienated. And so I just hope that we're doing our best job to make a place for everyone that shows up. Okay, now I got tears. So let me just get through my tears, and we'll get on to our call. And you know, it's not easy to to one of the hardest things about believing this from my own perspective is responsibility of it, you know? I mean, I'm a fairly irresponsible guy. I don't like responsibility. And suddenly, I got more responsibility than I ever dreamed of. And it's, you know, the thing about responsibility is that once you know something is true, and if you are a conscious person and you don't do something, you end up feeling guilty. So, and that's true for all of us. It's true where when there is an opportunity to truly be of service and you say, nah, and you could have changed somebody's life some way or another, then if you're I say the word conscious person, that may not be the right word, but if you've come here with a high intent, then we have to watch and observe our calling and take the actions that are, that, you know, of course there's free will, so you don't have to do anything under free will. But our systems are designed so that if you don't do something and you are a wanderer or a starseed and you came into this realm to be of service, then almost certainly you'll have guilt. So in any case, Terry, I know, I just want to make sure you're unmuted. Are you unmuted? Are you okay?
Yep. Yeah.
I hear you loud and clear. Okay.
All right.
Let's get started. We have some good questions for tonight. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person here. And any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy field of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. We create a protected space that only the positive has access to. Anything not of that nature must leave now. And there's a lot of static coming from Terry's phone.
Hello?
Yeah, there's a lot of static.
I know. I'm trying to, because I would feel more comfortable if my ear headset's charging. So just a minute, and I'll be right there.
All right. You ready?
Ready. We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. And we take a minute and we orient ourselves around Terry and connected to each and every person who wishes to be connected with. We take a moment. We sense the electrical energy in the air, the pull of gravitation getting stronger from the moon. The electrical potential of the particles from the sun hitting the particles of Earth, creating a borealis. And we say you may be experiencing more drama at this time because of these energies. They act like subtle energies, and you may not be aware of them, but nevertheless, they are acting upon you. So we advise caution in the things that you do at this time, forbearance in the anger flaring, and to wait a few days, things will get calmer. Do you have questions?
Yes. First question is from Tad Winning in Cincinnati, Ohio. And this question is, he sent me a whole long email, but I'm just going to read the last paragraph for his questions. All right? And on the one thing he said, that when the Elohim described creating the universe, the beginnings of it, I can feel their glee and excitement. So I'm curious if humor is the flip side of it all. And do the Elohim have a concept of humor, or laugh, so to speak, before there were such terrible emotional moments that needed compensation for? I'm not sure what he means there. And do the energies we send them from ourselves allow them to feel and enjoy our experiences, since I'm sending it to them willingly? And finally, does the Earth's awareness have a sense of humor? Thank you.
Yes, the Elohim us definitely have a sense of humor. We have more of a sense of humor, perhaps, than the Ra group, of which there is a section with us now in increasing the frequency that is available to you, the foundational platform that is available to you. They are saying, come on now, we have a sense of humor too.
Hey, maybe sometime we can have you both tell us a joke and we'll see which one's funnier.
Well, it's like...
Never mind, deflect. I'll stay out of this.
We do have a sense of humor, and we banter it about with ourselves. Our major language for the Elohim is mathematics, and the Ra group has a language of spirit language. We develop, they're saying, the Tarot many thousands of years ago to map an individual's journey through life to indicate the things that they can get into. We do, all of us, have a sense of humor, and in some of our talks you can see that humor shine through. Does the Earth have a sense of humor? The Earth is more made of different energies in different locations, different spirits guarding different locations, is under more trauma, is of a lower frequency. individual spirits, make up in general, and there are a huge spirit of Earth for each planet. And he is saying, we could say she is saying, it has a sense of humor along with its sense of duty, and that there is no one to tell jokes to except perhaps the sun and Jupiter. Venus has been heard. Mars has been heard. Venus, we take that back about Venus. It is Mars that has been hurt, and Mars, in its hurt, has a more difficult time expressing humor. There was a third question. What is the third question?
The third question was... Let's see. Do the Elohim have a concept of humor? And do the energies we send? Oh, do the energies we send them from ourselves allow them to feel and enjoy our experiences? Since I am sending it to them willingly.
Definitely, we are excited at your advance, your wins, your delight, your joy is our joy also. We love it when you laugh and are joyful there, and we do experience it.
So when we have really corny shows on Mondays and we're all laughing, we're not being sacrilegious to do that, right?
We take each thing individually. We look at it a little differently. We look at it as everybody is who they are, and that is where they're at. Sometimes we do not laugh with your humor, because to us it is not funny. But it is all right that you have it, and we are there.
Okay, thank you. Somebody asked this question last week, and I didn't ask it, and it was my headline question.
And yes.
The question was, is there a best location to live? In other words, there's some people that do astrology charts and say that your astrological aspects will work best at a particular location, and people move to that location. And then there's people that move to locations where they know somebody and where they have a kinship. Could you talk about the relative balance of those two choices in moving to a location? And then perhaps a third thing is moving to a location that might have less chances of earth changes. Thank you.
When a location has a chance of an earth change, individuals tend to fight more, to have more discordance in that location. So pay attention to where you are living in regard to faults, earthquake faults, because the tension within the earth translates into the auric field of the person. So pay attention to how you feel in certain locations. A person born in a certain location orients by those points where they are born, and if they move, they may feel displaced and not know why. A person who lives in an area, say they move and live there for a long time, they get used to the new coordinates, but still they may somehow long for the first place that they lived. It is not a matter of that there is one best place to live for everyone. There is some safe place to live for everyone. But where one is living, pay attention to what is going on around you, any discordance, any visions you might get in the area. And take a look at those visions and see if it is a lead through into a future, if it is something upsetting, if there is some disease, discomfort in living someplace. And then you may search for some place you feel comfortable.
Thank you.
That answer covers more than just the face of it. Because if somebody is living in a dangerous location and they are sensitive, they may get flashes. Like one lady asked a question one time. She said she felt very, very uncomfortable where she lived all the time. She felt uncomfortable. And she wanted that feeling cleared. So we asked, tell me where you live. And she lived in an area of gang activity, in an area of crime, in an area that was not safe. So her feelings were normal feelings, not something that she should try to remove from herself. They were sensors to her environment, input about where she was living. So be sensitive to where it is you are. And this covers areas that might have earth changes. You can take glimpses of it where you are. You can be nervous about where you are and where is it that your own center tells you, this is a good place for me.
Thank you. Next question. Dr. Art, I asked him if I could ask this question, and he approved, in fact, looked forward to it. He's experiencing a lot of dizziness, and he's an older man. He's 80 years old, and he says when he's on the computer and doing his work, he seems to be less dizzy, but when he finishes and gets up, he gets dizzy again. Is there any understanding or explanation or remedy for this?
Yes. When you are dizzy, it is a sense of disorientation, of being in discordance with something in your and with the physical location of your body. And a discordance with the physical location of where you live. But it can be when there are elements within your own auric field that are seeking to find their homeostasis. And there's a lot of information in that sentence. When you are making an advancement within your own self and are becoming more yourself, extraneous energies that are not you may become disoriented and disassociated from your own energy, and this creates a dizziness. We take a look also at your body. We do not wish to do a health reading at this time. Sense where the dizziness is. Is it exterior to your body? Is it within your brain area? Is it within your chest area? When you isolate out where the dizziness is, for instance, is it centered within your head? And isolate where this dizziness is. Sit down and let it work itself through. If something needs to dismiss, to release, to leave, let it go. And that is our preliminary answer for now.
Thank you very much. Next question. Let's see. This is from me. Oftentimes, when one tries to assist another, one ends up in the middle of the dramas of the other person's life. How can one avoid this? And if one finds themselves in the middle of it, what's the best way to extricate it?
Get to your own center first of all. Second of all, give when asked so that there is a connection with the asking of one and your giving to them. It is more intense at this time because of the configuration of the sun and the moon and the solar system and the supermoon. Things should calm down and ease off in a few days.
Thank you. Next question. Actually, I have like three questions, one from Don Herman and two from Dharmananda. And I want to make an overview myself from all the questions we've asked on this call and let our sources modify or add to what I have to say. And that is that in this realm, it's been my experience that the consensus idea of God is a gross simplification, and that there isn't all that is, and that we are all part of all that is. We all are in all that is. We're the cells in all that is, and that we can make connection with all that is. But many of the sayings and things we take for granted when people use the word God, it doesn't really relate accurately from my perspective and from what I've garnered from our sources to the way it actually works. Like, for example, well, I'm going to ask these three questions. I'm going to read these three things together because they're all in the same ballpark. Don Herman says, how does the concept let go and let God interact with the idea of not giving away one's power? Well, when we talk to the Elohim, they say the way they help us is we have to create an intention, and then we have to create a motion, and then they can add to that. So they don't come in and take control over us and say, here, I'm going to do it. Let go. Give it to me. They co-create with us. Now, is there a God that does that? Let go and let God? Well, let them answer that. And because to me, that is a giving away of your power. It's like, you know, this is not one of the questions, but if when somebody says, if it's meant to be, it will happen. And that means that that removes your intention out of it. Then you can say, if it's meant to be, it'll just come to me. And it doesn't include your intention and your action to make your intention happen. And my experience has always been that I have to create an intention, then I have to create an action. And if I do those two things, it's possible that I'll get the universe to support me. And things will happen that are synchronistic and magical. But they don't happen without me creating an intention and then doing something. And then Dharmananda has a whole bunch of things, and I think I read this last week. Since God is all there is, infinite, eternal, complete within itself. Well, notice that Dharmananda is saying, since God is all there is, infinite, eternal, and complete within itself, then why would he, she, it need to create anything at all? Well, because it's boring, in my opinion. And it's like you yourself are complete. See, the way Dharmananda is expressing that is he's not including you or himself as being part of God. And would you like to be part of God? Or would you like God to come up and say, what are you doing there? You're taking up my time. I'm complete. I don't need anything at all. You know, and that's how I would look at it. And then where did the Creator get ideas to create from before there was anything created? The Elohim said this. Now, some people might take offense at me or the Elohim even aligning themselves with the Creator. But yet, when we ask questions, they have a consistent point of view of being the creator, a creator, one of many creators. And you know, it's all one. So there's only one creator, but it's all divided into multiple micro sub creators. But it's all one. It's working as a team. So if you're going to approach our work, you have to consider thinking differently than this traditional concept. Although, if you use the traditional concept, if you are praying to God, in fact, there's another thing here today. When we pray to somebody, who should we pray to? Okay, that's a good question. Let me ask that after we go through these. But if you want to align yourself with God, then if you think of God in a traditional way, and you use that word in a traditional sense, it can still work, because the key to it is your intent thrusting its energy through the veil, so you this is how it becomes visible. This is how, at least, I've come to look at it. And that you don't have to say Elohim, you don't have to say Ra, you don't have to say Adonai, you don't have to say Jesus, but you could. It depends on what you resonate with, not necessarily what's the right word. Okay, now I've covered so much there, I'm going to turn it over to our sources, and they're going to say, where do we start? Let's see, if I need to ask specific questions, I'll ask specific questions out of that. Thank you.
Thank you. Some people think that they themselves are God, and we remind ones that they are a spark of God, but they are not God. They do not know all wisdom. They are not the all in everything. They have limited space, limited area that they operate in, limited knowledge. And within that, they create. Now, if they connect with your this is in a way that they express their intention, then God can help them to achieve what it is that they are working on creating, and can come in and be with them and can help carry on beyond where they have knowledge to go, for instance, to make the healing complete. So there are circumstances where to let go and let God is the thing to do, but it does not mean to just step aside and let God take over and use your own self, be nothing. That does not work either, because you are a co-creator, and if you become nothing, God has nothing to work with. So you need your own center, your own creativity, your own intention to be able to co-create with God. What was the second question then?
The second question was, where did the creator get ideas to create from before there was anything created?
The creator, in order to get an idea, had to be within itself to GWO. To have an idea is separate from the person, the being having the idea. There was, first of all, a separation to have creation occur. And as creation occurred, it built on what could be created. And there would be rivulets going in a certain direction of creation, where there were ideas of what to create. But at the start, there was no idea of what to create. There just was. So you might ask what was an intelligence. But if there are no things to be intelligent about, then there had to be a separation where there was two for things to start to be created. Thank you.
Thank you. You know, I know when I create something, if I write something or, you know, many things that I might create, oftentimes when I am doing doing that process, I will take a step and I'll do something, and then suddenly the next thing comes to mind and I add to the first thing I did. And then before you know it, another thing comes to mind, and I don't even know where it's going, but as long as I keep adding to what I've already created, I get this end result that looks like it was all planned out, and yet it wasn't. Is there any similarity to the higher realms when they create?
Yes, this is how things were created.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you. Next question is, this is from Erica. No, wait a second. Let's see. This is Erica. I'll do you in a moment. This is from Deb D. in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And this relates to our last question, and I said I was going to save it. When one prays, who hears the prayer? Is it the Elohim, or is it another source? Is it our higher self that hears the prayer and orchestrates it being answered? Is the power of prayer real? Is it a source of energy that goes out sort of like an SOS signal? When I pray, who would be the best person source that I should pray to? Thank you. That's Deb D. from Milwaukee.
Thank you. All of these sources hear your prayer. It pays to be tuned to a higher energy and not to a lower energy when you pray. It is heard by many. And when your intention is in alignment with what you were praying for, then the whole universe vibrates with it and can fulfill it or work towards providing fulfillment of that prayer. Who should you pray to? God is a good one to pray to, and God hears your prayers. We are not God, but we also hear your prayers. So you can ask us if there is something important that we can assist with our energies and our backup.
Thank you. If one happens to be a starseed or a wanderer and one prays, do you ever get answers from your source that you derive from? Like if you're from another planet and you've had, you know, a higher planet, like Andromeda or something, do your thoughts go out to the Andromedans? Do they pick those up and help?
Your thoughts can, yes, go to your home planet and can be picked up by those there that are in your frequency range.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Question from Robin. I feel like the spiritual side is really coming together for me, but the financial side is blocked. She's wondering how to remove the block and create abundance. Our negative energy is blocking me. Thank you, Robin.
Look within yourself to see if there is a block to having a really lot of money. Picture yourself having a lot of money and feel what it feels like to have a lot of money. And that is on the other side of the block. And just work with that. It is hard when you don't have the money because you are working to get someplace where you are not. But when you have faith that the money will come and you can feel the money being there, when you can feel it, then the block is disintegrating.
Thank you. If someone had a past lifetime where they were in a position of power and success and they abused their position, might their high self, they might come back and create a circumstance where it was very difficult to become successful until they cleared that task track?
Yes, even though they don't remember a past life like that, they can see if there is something within them that perhaps they took a vow of poverty at one time. And then when they try to have money, they're trying to step over that vow of poverty. But the vow of poverty is very, very strong. And so it is hard to let go when one doesn't even remember that one has taken such an oath. Then they have programmed themselves to not have money. And they will, when they've done that, be able to feel that there is something there that maybe they feel they shouldn't have money. Maybe they feel it would be wrong to have money when others didn't. Maybe they feel that they couldn't touch God when they had money, but they were trying to stay away from greed. So look within yourself and see what your feeling is. What is it that block is consisting of? What it is self-imposed, lack of money. Thank you.
Thank you. Last question. We'll just go through this. It's from Erica. And hi, everyone. I would like to ask the following question.
Then move your mic a little bit away.
Okay. When can I expect my singing career to take off?
Now, who is this from?
Erica Shea Brandon. I don't know where she lives. But let me make a comment. Erica, you're acting as if everything is destiny and that some outside source can know when you're going to take off. From my experience, there's a level of knowing how to put the energy into the world. You have to learn how to do it. You have to learn how to attract the things to you that will make you enhance your success. And one key element about anything in the world, any kind of success in the world that I came up with, is that when you can hold your hologram larger than what you need to support you, it tends to come and give support. And that's not easy. In other words, like you have somebody with money that wants to back you, somebody that wants to manage you. Can you feel worthy of all those things? Are you touching audiences? I mean, you have to know that you're touching people. Are you getting the validation that you're touching people? And then you get the confidence. Hey, I'm really touching people. I want to touch more people. So you are the creator of this. And it's not just something that's supposed to happen. And I'll turn it over to our sources. This will be our last question. Thank you.
Thank you. We see that you have faith that it is out there for you and that you can sing and express that. We suggest that you sing to people that you know you are touching, and keep doing that, and you will touch the right people, which will open the door.
Thank you. And on that note, we'll bring this session to a close. I thank all of you that asked questions for tonight and all of you that were here to support the energy. And we'll talk to you Sunday when we do our grid healing. Let me unmute everybody. And
all callers are unmuted.
Thank you, Wynn.
Thank you.
Thank you, Wynn.
Thank you, Wynn.
Thank you, Wynn.
Your conference recording has stopped.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody. Thank you, Terry.
Much love, y'all.
Thank you, Terry. Thank you, Wynn. Thank you, Hi.
Thank you.
Thanks, Donna.
You're welcome.
Goodbye.